Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, good news comes beyond the headlines of Washington, D.C. Impeachment, conspiracy theories, finger pointing in all directions. If we want to find how to be centered in our life by looking at Washington, D.C., we quickly shake our heads and say, really, is this the best we can do? And then we reach into our pockets and we pull out a coin and we see the answer on a penny with the head of Abraham Lincoln. And right above at the top of the coin, it reads four words. If you know them, say them with me. In God we trust. Then we are recentered. Our emotional bearings kind of find a home base. Our mind gets clearer, and we begin to feel a confidence beyond the fear that pervades when things seem to be going amok. It was in a different global crisis of a different era when the Apostle Paul, under the authority of Caesar, was in prison for a second time. The first time is when he wrote the letters of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, called the prison epistles, which are remarkable works of God's grace for somebody under intense pressure. And then the power broker just wouldn't let him go, and a new emperor by the name of Nero had him rearrested, and it would lead to his death in Rome. But before then, he wrote this letter of 2 Timothy. And in that he said, though I am in chains that Caesar seeks to shame me, I want you to know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against this day. Wow. To know by knowing in whom you believed, that believe is trust. And that the one in whom you have belief, you're persuaded by his very presence that this God is able to keep and perform what you have committed to him in your life. We look at the pages of the scripture and we see their inspiration, and it helps us to see that inspiration working out in the lives of other people like Kay Bennett, who in last Sunday in our combined service, we celebrated Miss Bennett's 100th birthday. To think she was born in 1919 and all that she has seen through the course of her life. And with a clear mind, a firm spirit, a tender heart, she is able to point us to this Lord who has guided her through a century of life. If anyone could have become cynical about life, it could have been Kay. I mean, she lived through the roaring 20s, through the Depression when she came of age, through the World War. She was the 11th employee, I think, for USAA. Back in the old location. The sense of being a part of a vision of God doing a work in the life of a people to see what God can do. Kay, with her daughter Markeen and her son-in-law Terry, formed this family of three, and it's a beautiful story about seeing how true God is, that he indeed is able to keep that which has been committed to him with all of our life. So as we are stepping into the promises of a spirit-filled life, the Holy Spirit, God's very presence of the resurrected Jesus in our midst, and that the fullness of the Spirit that comes to us that we may live in the tenderness and the power of his conviction, his comfort, and his counsel. We've talked about how the Spirit creates unity and how the Spirit gives healing, how the Spirit fills the church, how the Spirit empowers our gifts. And we must also speak in the Spirit-filled life about the Spirit-filled scriptures called the Bible, the inspiration of the scriptures of the Bible. Now, the scripture's purpose is to bring us closer to God, to bring us closer to knowing who God is, that it helps us to see more clearly who we are and this world in which we live. Meaning the goal of Bible study is not simply to gain more and more Bible knowledge. It's helpful to know and fun that Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible. But it's important to know that it's a prayer for the world. It may be fun to know that the longest chapter in the Bible is just two psalms over, Psalm 119, but it's important to know that how God can shape a life and cleanse a life in honor of Him through this longest chapter of the Bible. It can be interesting to know that the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept out of the Gospel of John, but it's important to know that Jesus had a tenderness that would lead Him to tears out of love. And so it goes with all of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's important to know that it is the thread of redemption that runs from the 1,189 chapter, the 31,101 verses, is redemption. That all the scripture then ultimately points to Christ. Now, if the scriptures bring us closer to God and they've been given as a gift for our life, like any good gift, it needs to be opened and receive what the gift has to offer. So in our brief meditation before communion, that's exactly what we're doing. Because the same Spirit that gives us the scripture inspires you to know and live the scripture. Yesterday morning on game day, of course, game day right now, and we have the playoff series in Major League Baseball, we've got college football, we've got the NFL, we've got the kick tip-off for a new season of the NBA and the San Antonio Spurs, and of course the men's top golf team met yesterday morning, men's ministry team, and as we met and we played and had fun and scriptures kind of wrapped it up, just an awareness that our calling in life is to be shaped together as by God's Spirit, and that as a man of God called together, that we need to be faithful so that we can help our world see a reflection, just a mere reflection of God's hope in the world, and to bring that into our families, into the life that we live, and the sense of all that we seek to do in the life of Trinity, and we seek to do where we travel in our week-a-day world, to try to give that kind of reflection of scriptures that bring us closer to know who God is so that we can know more clearly who we are. Because this Holy Spirit inspired the biblical writers, the Spirit invites you to look at the message and you will learn more about the Bible, absolutely. But the importance is learning what the Bible is leading you to know about God and who you are in light of God. You can begin anywhere, because it's all His Word. But we ask you to be looking at Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and the story of what God is doing in Ephesians, or in Philippians, these stories that we're focusing our message with. And so why in the world are we preaching from 2 Timothy? Because the same Paul that wrote Ephesians and wrote Philippians wrote 2 Timothy, and Timothy was with Paul during his first imprisonment, and now we're with Paul in the end of his life in a second imprisonment, and he had spent a lot of time in Ephesus where Ephesians was written, and so it all gets brought together as a whole. And then Paul has a message for us to know. One, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That scripture is a gift. It's a gift from God. And in this gift, we may open it by receiving it, receive it by meditating, seeking to take it in within our life. Well, let's test this meditation, all right? It's inspired. It's a gift of God for our life. He has brought it into being. He breathed it into being in order to be good news for us. And how does that good news take shape? But for doctrine, that's truth. We can know truth because we may know God, and through His Word, we see more clearly what truth is. For doctrine, for reproof, that's for double-checking ourselves. Just like when you're working the figures, maybe your math problem, you're working your family finances, or you're reproofing before you send an email or you send a text. Have you ever got caught in a when you didn't reproof? I was texting unfortunately, a very, very dear friend. And it was early in the morning, and I was writing out several texts, and I sent it. And she immediately texted back to me, and she said, "I am laughing because I think you meant you are dear to me. Instead, I texted, you are dead to me." Ah, there's grace, you know. But a good reproof, a good proofing would have caught that mistake. Or the other evening, Vicki and I were out, you know, wrapping up some things, and so we dropped by HEB, where all good meditation happens, and we put our groceries in the car, and I faithfully returned the basket where it's placed, and I knew that we were in my car. It's a black car, and Vicki was in the passenger seat, and I was thinking about other things, and so I opened the door, and I got in, and this lady screamed. And I screamed. She said, "I thought you were my husband," and I said, "I thought you were my wife." And I said, "I'm so sorry." She said, "I'm sorry I made you scream." I said, "We'll feel better," and I'm gone. I told Vicki when I got in our car, just two cars over, she kind of waved at her as we pulled out. You know, reproof is a way of double checking so that we can avoid the avoidable mistakes which are there. And the Bible comes as a way to provide that within our life. Now, for correction is when we've done wrong. That is when we made the mistake. We have sinned. We have sinned in a way that we know that God has something better for our life and how to live our life, and we are not doing it. The scriptures scream the spirit to our life, stop that affair, just stop it. Stop lying, just stop it. Stop gossiping, just stop it. Stop cheating, just stop it. The Spirit will scream out to us out of a conscience to say, you are better than this, and the grace of Jesus is not to be wasted by sinful behavior, but the grace of Jesus will pull us out of the sinful behavior if we're to be corrected by what God provides. And instruction in righteousness, God always shows how to do it. He never simply just says, no, don't. He says, don't. But this is how you do. He always gives us the positive. He builds it into our life. Even as now as we're working and laboring, raising the money and doing the physical labor to help build a house with Habitat for Humanity for the Bertrand family, a beautiful family of a dad, mom, three children, three little ones. So as we look at the construction where members of our church were out working hard and we've contributing the money to make this possible, we know we're building a house that becomes a home. The home is the purpose of the house. And so it is that Scripture's purpose is to bring us to God in how we live our lives. And then that is the promise revealed. Receive the gift. Meditate on its meaning. Two is to study to show yourself. Study to show yourself as a worker, as a person, without shame, rightly dividing the word of truth. Read the scripture for life formation. Again, it's helpful to know information about the Bible, but it's important that the information about the Bible serves its purpose in our life formation. And that is the sense of the study is to read into it. In the seminary where I went to, chiseled into the woodwork, the stone, actually the stone of our main building on campus was this word in Greek. So it tested you to learn your Greek so you could figure out what that was on the stone. And you don't have to know it in Greek, but you know what the meaning is, that we may study, we may learn, we may read, that we may let that approving and shaping our life formation, so that we would not be ashamed in any way. Because you know what Caesar was wanting to do to Paul? He was wanting to shame him. You know what the opponents of the gospel of Jesus were wanting to do? They were wanting to shame Paul by having him thrown into prison. Then they were trying to discount his witness, intimidate him. But God is not intimidated. He is the creator of the heavens and the universe. And therefore, the same God gives us a power in him that we're not intimidated because the Spirit of the living God is in us. And through that, we've realized that we're shaped. rightly dividing is a rightly living, sharing and distributing. Why in the world, you may have asked yourself, did they show it a hashtag at the beginning of worship this morning? Because it is a way to rightly divide the word of truth. It's a 21st century way of simply getting the message out to other generations. And if you're not sure how to do it, ask the 8-year-old who's nearest to you. And that's a part of our being this family of God, is that we can teach each other and learn from each other and to be able to share the truth and the promises of God for each other. And memorize is a way of recalling. How is a, you know, do you remember Tim Duncan's number? If you, okay, what is Tim, what was Tim Duncan's number? Well, there you go. All right, you know where I'm going with this. If we know Tim and Tony and Manu's number, or DeMarcus or Lamar, or, well, if we know the numbers of the Spurs, can we not know some scripture? The Lord's Prayer, Psalm 23, John 3:16, Philippians 4:13. Not just to know it to say we know it, but that when we really need it, we can say, oh gosh, I can do this because I can do all things, even this, through Christ who strengthens me. And just taking one or two words and key verses that God has touched your heart, just remembering those two words may be enough to get you through and show His way. Well, you may receive, may read, and then to recall. This recall for this life application. The recalling of life application is to be mobilized. I'm kind of talking about a 3M process. The 3 M's of meditate, memorize, and mobilize when scripture. The process of knowing that God will equip us with His very presence and ability as we spend time with Him. You know, a few years back when I decided to change the answer, when somebody asked me, what are your hobbies? I changed it to what I actually do, not what I aspire to do as a hobby. And the power of moving scripture from an aspiration to an action makes all the difference. And this is not a hobby. This is a lifeline for all of us, not just for the pastor, not just for our musicians, not just for the Sunday school teacher, not just for the Bible study teacher. That's why we have Bible studies through the week. That's why we have our Sunday morning Bible study at 9 o'clock. It's why we have the scriptures a part of emphasis, because we all need this to be mobilized for action, what to do with our lives, so that we may thoroughly be equipped for every good work as a servant of God. 2 Tim 3:17, mobilize. Well, Jesus was mobilized as the Messiah into the world, the very presence of God. And as He came into the world, as our deacons come forward now, we see that He gave a sign of His presence. And you know that Jesus knew all 5 books of the Bible by heart, by memory? Well, you think, well, sure, He's the Son of God, He's the Messiah. But it was the earthly Jesus who even learned the words of Leviticus and Deuteronomy by memory. And when they left the upper room where we imagine ourselves being now, where the upper room where Jesus would have the Last Supper experience, they went from the upper room to Gethsemane, singing the Psalms, singing scripture, singing the Spirit-inspired scriptures, inspired by the Spirit in a time of the Messiah's coming death. See, God wins. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him, even the day of my coming death. Oh, especially then. unto him. And so as we enter, we take the symbol of lifting the lids off like the sign of the resurrection, of the sign of the body and the blood of Christ. We look at the offering first of the bread, which is this the sign of the body of Jesus, the Jesus who is the living fulfillment of all Scripture, the Messiah. And then he said to them, come and take. Take this in remembrance of me. This is my body, which is given for you.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.